I'd like to start my message to the youth this morning, asking them, not the church, but the youth, to say the Bible verse that is our church motto. Can we do that? Maybe we can have it on the screen as well. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Dacă este cineva în Hristos, este o făptură nouă, cele vechi s-au dus, iată că toate lucrurile s-au făcut noi. Amin. Mulțumesc. Thank you. A few weeks ago when I was standing here in front of you with the message for you, I talked about having a Christian philosophy of life, something that guides every single one of your actions, something that guides your thoughts, something that guides your words, something that guides your actions. And there are many ways to state that. But the true philosophy of life, for a life worth living, is the one that comes from the Word of God. And I'm standing here this morning to challenge you to today with a question. I want to ask if you know who you are. I want to ask you if you know your identity. And I'm not asking about what your driver license say, not what your friends, your parents call you. But do you really know who you are? From the earliest days, we ask our children, who are you? And the answer is, most of the time, a name. If you ask, you know, Caitlin, who you are, she will say, I'm Caitlin. Or these days, I'm not sure she will tell you that, because at home, sometimes we call her Katie. And this week, she started first grade, and the first 2 days of first grade, they were working on some papers, and she brought the papers home on Friday, and she wrote her name on the papers. And guess what her name was on the paper? It wasn't Kaylin, it wasn't Katie, it was Kate. So who are you? And right now we don't know. She's still Kaylin. We'll see. The question is, who are you? We hear many times about the actions of a person, something that surprises us and say, I wonder why he did or she did all this. This is not him. This is not her. We do not say, oh, I don't know why she did that or he did that. He's not capable of that. We don't say that. We say, that's not him. In other words, that's not who that person is. Identity, the dictionary says, is a set of behaviors, personal characteristics by which an individual is recognized as a member of a group. Young men and women at this age usually become more aware of the expectations and pressures, many times conflicting, that the family, the society, church, school have of them. And psychologists talk about an identity crisis at this age, when young men and women are a little bit confused about how should they behave, who really they are, what their actions, words should be. In this quest for identity, the world is ready to help us. Unfortunately, like everything that the world offers us, it's very confusing, because the word gives many times to you, and you experience that in school, whether through your teachers, through your curriculum, or through your peer pressure, those two words, those two alternatives, those two helpful hints to establish your identity. The first one would be, oh, you are good enough the way you are. You're good. Did you hear someone saying, do your own thing? Have you? Just do your own thing. Not talking about the commercial, so famous. just do it, right? Or sometimes say, don't let anyone tell you what to do. You know what to do. You're your own person. That's what the word says. And this type of thinking leads many times to a self-centered life. It's me, 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 me all the time. The reality is that no one can be good enough on their own without God. Amen to that? I really believe that. And I hope you really believe that too. Or the world will say, you are not good enough. Talking about confusion, right? Two pulling forces in different directions. However, this is the message that we hear is lose weight, get plastic surgery, get a tattoo, get involved in risky behavior, hang out with the cool crowd. That's what's going to give you identity. That's what's going to establish who you are. If you do it, you'll be recognized. You'll have an identity. The world is saying that you are not good enough. On one hand, it says, yeah, you're good. There are others who say, no, you're not good enough. You need to buy, you need to do, you need to have. This is the type of thinking that leads to self-condemnation, to frustrations, constantly wishing you were somewhere else, wishing you were someone else, wishing you're doing something else. But what is the God saying about our identity? First of all, I think God has two warnings. I didn't put them in there, but one warning, those of you who came to the Bible study on Thursday, we talked about it. The first warning is in the book of Proverbs, and I'm not going to read the message. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to read the NIV in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 22. We have the following words. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had not responded to my rebuke, says the wisdom says, you need to listen. You need to listen to the advice given by God. And the second warning is given by the Word of God towards the values of this world. In the first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 16 says, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. So this is what wants to give us direction in life. Something that passes away. Something that changes. And you know that. If you are chasing the fashion and the fads of 5 years ago, you know those are, oh, so deja vu, right? That's not good anymore. So why not turn to the Word of God? Why not look at what God says about who you are, who you should be? Because the Word of God says that you are made by Him to do great things. Amen? Amen. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, says the following words. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now please notice, only in Jesus Christ we can do good works. And only because He prepared them beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, God has the identity for you already. All you have to do is accept it and be ready to walk in it. So accept the identity that God has for you. We are made by Him to do great things. The second thing is you have been set free from sin. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, says that indeed something that we struggle with many times, God took care of it. Verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You have been set free from sin. And God says, because you have been set free, you've been justified, you are blameless now in the sight of God. You are now a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? I don't know how much you understood of the poem that was said before by Sora Irina, but it's a poem that I'm going to ask her for a copy, and I'm going to try to translate it in English. I'm not a poet, but I'll do my best. Because she said, or the poem said what? You are what? The son of the king, right? But that doesn't give you a carte blanche to do whatever you want, to pursue your own interests, to pursue your own desires. You are the son of the king. You are a child of God. That's who you are. But you are that, and now be careful how you live. Live accordingly. If you are, and you are, a child of God, the Word of God said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. To find your identity, does that mean that you need to indulge yourself in every behavior you want and forget about self-control? To find who you are doesn't mean you have to hectically run from fashion to fashion, from trend to trend, from friend to friend, if you want, from risky behavior to risky behavior. You find your identity when you see yourself as God sees you. It means understanding that you have self-worth, not because of what you possess, but because what God is to you and because loves you. And do you know how much God loved you? Enough to give his only son. So in him you have the real true identity. With him you can live a truly blessed, wonderful, pure life. So what do you say about your identity? What do you think? Do you fill your mind with God's thoughts? The writer of Psalm 139 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O Lord. Do you know why you need to do that? Because whatever man thinks in his heart, that's what that man, that woman is. So fill your heart with the Word of God, God's thoughts expressed to us, for us. And secondly, what do you say about your identity? I will accept and live the reality of who I am in Christ. For if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Is a new creation that's visible and manifested outside. Do you align yourself with the Word of God? Do you allow the world to shape your behavior, speech, to thoughts, to create your identity? Or do you allow Christ, God, in His grace, His love, His truth, through His Word, through the family, through the church, to dictate your actions, to shape your behavior, to mold your words, thoughts, and ultimately decide who you are? I hope you do that. I hope you meditate to the Word of God and you find your true identity, that of the child of God, and you behave accordingly. May God help you in this new school year and every day of your life. Amen.